I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Hello, gorgeous and flawless listeners. It is I, Emily Lubin. I'm the Grim Reaper and the host of this show. Welcome back to RAP Diets. It feels good to be back. I'm going to say that every time I start a new episode. It feels good to be back. I don't know why. It feels good to say that it feels good to be back. Please excuse the creaky chair. If you hear creaks in the background, it's because I'm sitting in a 100-year-old chair. It was here when I moved into my apartment, actually, because the former owners were like, we have these antique chairs that would fall apart if anybody over 200 pounds sat in the chair. Do you want them? And I said, hell yeah, I want your 200-year-old chairs. I said 100 and then I said 200. I feel like they're closer to 200 years old. This woman who lived in the apartment before me, she told this incredible story about how her parents got the chairs down in New Orleans at like this vintage fair or something. And I thought, ooh, how exotic. But they really are the least comfortable chairs and they're completely falling apart. But they're a good placeholder until I can buy new chairs or have a different setup. Why am I talking about chairs? See, this is the peril of having a podcast that you do by yourself, is you start the podcast, you have the best intentions, you have the best laid plans for what you're going to talk about, and then you end up talking about fucking chairs for, what, like a minute and a half? I'm still talking about these chairs. Anyway, you probably didn't even hear the chairs. Moving on, I have a lot on my mind this week. So just for some context, I am home. I haven't left my apartment this entire day because I'm having the craziest situation with my gut, my digestive system. I don't know what's going on. I think I might know what's going on, which is I ate a whole box of mac and cheese. And not only did I eat the whole box of mac and cheese, I added cheese to my mac and cheese because it's never enough cheese. I had the Trader Joe's box mac and cheese that I made per the instructions, but I did add two slices of cheddar cheese that I had in my fridge just to, you know, make it a little cheesier. And then I also put some Frank's Red Hot sauce on it. I put that shit on everything. Hello. And it was really, really delicious. I ate the entire thing. I don't know how many servings it technically is, but for me, it's one serving. And I felt really good about it. I felt satisfied after eating it. But then a couple hours later, I get incredibly nauseous. I need to lie down. I can't look at my computer screen. I kind of have this headache that's coinciding with the digestive issues. And I just couldn't eat a single thing for the rest of the day. I had to go in my room. I had to get under my covers with all the lights off and just clutch a pillow and curl up in fetal position and pray for the storm to pass. And it did not pass. I was out of commission for the rest of the day. And this morning, I still was incredibly nauseated. I have not eaten. I had some liquid IV to make sure that I was getting my electrolytes in. And then I just baked myself a loaf of bread, which it sounds a little more tradwife than it actually is. I'm trying to figure it out. I went on Instagram today and I saw this post that was so triggering. It was a recipe for a, quote, dense bean salad. I mean, can you think of anything less appetizing than a dense bean salad? I had to close out of my app. I didn't even scroll past the video. I exited out of the app. All this woman said was, every week I make a dense bean salad. And I was like, nope, veto, control alt delete. I cannot see that. I instantly felt nauseous. So I have to really be careful about the content that I'm consuming right now and the food that I'm consuming right now. So that's a little health update for you. What do I want to talk about today? So I'm actually dying to talk about this, and I don't know if anybody cares, but I saw this interview on Jimmy Kimmel with Kirsten Dunst. I'm obsessed with her. I was at the movie theater the other day, and I saw a trailer for a movie that she is starring in. The movie's called Civil War, and it's not, it doesn't exactly seem like my type of movie. It seems like a post-apocalyptic sort of dystopian, what if there was a civil war in our country in the present day type of thing. And I took note of Miss Kirsten Dunst. I have always been obsessed with her. I've always loved her since the Jumanji era into the Virgin Suicides. I mean, she was an it girl. Do you remember Bring It On? She was head cheerleader in Bring It On, and she sold that motherfucking role. Kirsten Dunst can do no wrong. And I saw this other story. It was like this fluff piece about why she hasn't gone ham on plastic surgery. She's kind of like one of the few women in the industry who chooses to age naturally. Now, I know, of course, she's not old. And also, of course, there are other people that have not gone off the handle with plastic surgery. The one that I'm thinking off the top of my head is Sarah Jessica Parker, who, you know what? Put a pin in that. Let's circle back to that, because that's another one that I stand for this reason. But I was reading this fluff piece about Kirsten Dunst, and basically she was talking about how she never wanted to fall into getting plastic surgery. And when she was doing, maybe it was The Virgin Suicides or maybe it was Marie Antoinette, I don't know. It was a Sofia Coppola movie. And while she was on set with Sofia Coppola, Sofia commented on how she loved Kirsten's teeth. And I remember back in the day, people would kind of rag on her for her teeth, like that, say they were little chiclet teeth or that she had a crooked smile or something. I never noticed it. I think she has a really charming smile. But apparently Sofia said to Kirsten, "Oh, wow, I really love your teeth. Don't ever change your teeth." And because of that, Kirsten Dunst, whenever a director or a manager or an agent or anybody would tell her, "Oh, you should think about fixing your teeth," she rejected that because she had that memory of how Sofia, you know, said she loves her teeth. And so anytime somebody would say, "Oh, maybe you should fix your teeth, you would get more roles," she would say, "No, I like my teeth." And, you know, that's inspiring, because I can only imagine the pressure that somebody would feel in Hollywood. I mean, wanting to get really good roles and seeing your peers get their teeth fixed or their nose fixed or, you know, little quote imperfections, you have access to everything. You can easily get them fixed. And to choose not to, I mean, it's commendable. And she also said that she never wanted to pump her face full of fillers or get a lot of plastic surgery. She would rather get old. She would rather you be able to tell in her face that she's aging, because then she will get age-appropriate roles. You know, she's a working actress and she needs to age, quote, gracefully. And I use big scare quotes around that because I think sometimes when we say age gracefully, that's like weaponized against women. You know, like if you do this, then you're not aging gracefully. But in terms of being an actress and getting roles as you get older, you know, they probably do want you to have a more natural look and to look your age. It reminded me of seeing this trailer and thinking like, damn, this woman, she's still killing it. She's still getting age-appropriate roles. I stan Kirsten Dunst. I support her not getting any plastic surgery, keeping her chiclet teeth. I don't see it, but, you know, she says that people told her to fix her teeth. I just ride so hard for that bitch. Okay, and now circling back to Sarah Jessica Parker, she did a Howard Stern interview, and I love this interview that she did. I know that Sarah Jessica Parker seems to be kind of a polarizing figure in Hollywood. Not everybody likes her. Not everybody has a good opinion of her. She does, you know, sometimes seem kind of icy. And I know she had that feud with Kim Cattrall, and Kim Cattrall didn't even want to come back for the revival series on HBO because she didn't want to work with SJP. I don't really know where I stand in that feud, but this interview with Howard Stern, I thought she was so well spoken. She was basically talking about how there's so much pressure on women. I mean, women in Hollywood, but women in general, to not get old. And how when And just like that, the revival series on the HBO came out. People couldn't stop commenting about how old she looked and, oh my God, her hair is gray and she looks like a witch. And she was commenting on how absurd it is that, like, that's all we can comment about when you see older women on the screen, and how we need to change that narrative, how it's just, it's so distracting and it just keeps these women from being celebrated for their talent, which should be the focus, you know? So SJP, honorable mention. Okay, one more addition to the mindless celeb news. It seems to be my specialty nowadays. And this is very, very recent. I'm not reporting on this weeks late like I normally do, but I just saw this. So Khloe Kardashian posted this photo. You can easily see it if you go to her Instagram, but I am not promoting her Instagram because I think it is one of the most egregious Instagram accounts in terms of perpetuating diet culture. And when I was younger, I probably would have followed her Instagram account and thought that it was inspirational, but I have the maturity now and the hindsight, I was going to say foresight, but it is hindsight, to know that none of this shit is inspirational. It's actually quite sad. So anyway, Khloe Kardashian posted this photo. I assume that it's of her body at some point in time lying on the beach, but I can't actually confirm that because she is headless. The head is cropped out, and this person, who I assume is Khloe, is wearing a gold bikini. I stan a gold bikini. That's just a side note. I've been looking for the perfect gold bikini for years, and I actually bought one last year, and it was not it. It was not the gold bikini of my dreams, and I thought that my search had finally ended, but I don't know. It's just like a fantasy of mine to be on the beach wearing a casual gold bikini. Nothing ostentatious, nothing crazy, but just I'm out in the sun. Maybe I'm reading a book and I'm wearing a flashy gold bikini. There's something about it that's very appealing to me. I don't know. Gold isn't exactly my color, so maybe it'll remain a fantasy. Back to the post. So she's headless, lying on the beach, gold bikini. She's flexed. Very hot body, okay? And the caption reads, "This post is for me to be motivated. Come on, Khloe, you got this. Time to turn up the cardio and weights." And then the little weightlifting emoji. This post pisses me off. And there are so many comments under it, like, praying for the girls that are going to skip a meal tonight after seeing this. I am not going to be that dramatic about it, okay? I mean, by now, you guys all know my opinion about the Kardashians. I think they're very, very negligent when it comes to how they impact the self-esteem of their fans, young girls who follow them and think they're so fabulous. I think they perpetuate a lot of problematic stuff about body image. I think they perpetuate a lot of diet culture. Hello, Kim Kardashian, with my I'm vegan 6 days a week and then I go ham on chicken wings or whatever the fuck. I don't think that they have a good relationship with food or their bodies. I think it kind of goes without saying, but then they preach this stuff like it's gospel, and it makes me feel really bad for the young people who follow them and think that they're so fabulous and they want to be just like them. But this particular post, what bothers me about it is that it's a fucking lie, okay? This post is not to motivate you. If this was like a Fitspo thing for her, she wouldn't post it to her Instagram. She would just put it up on her wall or on her fridge like we used to do back in the day, which again, you know, it's problematic and I wouldn't recommend that. But if that's what it was for her, then I don't think she would just post it to her Instagram. I think she needed something for the feed. She thought this picture looked good. She wanted an excuse to post the picture. I mean, we've all been there. We want an excuse to post an old photo. And so we make one up and you put a silly caption and whatever. But if this was for motivation for you, then you would just put it up in your home and look at it and be like, oh, time to hit the gym. This is clearly to flex on other people. So don't lie to me in this caption and say, like, this is motivation for me. Come on, Chloe, it's time to hit the weights. Come on, shut the fuck up. Aren't we past this? Like, what is going on? Is it 2004 again? Is it 2004 again? Because it's starting to feel eerily like back when I was a teenager and this kind of shit was acceptable. I don't even know how she has the balls to post stuff like this after she's been called out so many times for her problematic stuff, for the revenge body show. I mean, don't even get me started on the revenge body thing. I can't stomach it. I cannot stomach it. So anyway, seeing posts like these, that it's like, just thinking back to when I was in the best shape of my life, this is for me to stay motivated. No, 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 no. You want attention. You want people to think you're hot. Maybe you're even trying to motivate other people. Maybe you're coming out with some more fitness products, some more ankle weights to pedal on us peasants. This isn't for you. And I just think when you have that big of a following, you need to keep in mind the people who are consuming your content and how it's going to come off. It's almost like she's trolling us at this point. I can't stand her. And honestly, she used to be my favorite one of them. I don't have a favorite anymore. I don't like any of them. But back when the show started, what was it, like 2006, 2007, something like that? Chloe was funny. She brought comedic relief. She seemed the most like a normal, grounded person out of all of them, you know, excluding the two youngest girls who were like 5 and 6 at the time or something. She seemed like the most normal of them. And it's really a shame. I mean, I do have sympathy to a certain degree that I think she was bullied so brutally for so many years for not looking as much like her sisters and for having a different body type and, oh, is that really her dad? You know, all of that stuff. Of course, that would fuck anybody up. But at a certain point, I mean, get some media training, get something. You got to get this under control, Chloe. You got to get this under control. And if you want to stay stuck in this toxic cycle of diet culture and fitness culture and what have you, put it up on your wall. Put it up on your wall just like my roommates did in college with their Thinspiration, Fitspiration, whatever you want to call it, with their little wall right next to their little mini fridge full of sad frozen diet plan dinners. You can do that, okay? You have the right to do that. And you have the right to post whatever you want on Instagram, but come on, it's just, it's super lame and everybody around you knows it's lame. So it's about time that you got it through your thick skull that this is lame and this is not helpful for anybody. Least of all you, if we're being honest. Moving on, and this is breaking news. This is not food news. This is more fashion news, which I don't really do, but this is breaking news, and this is something that you guys really need to be aware of. This is an issue that is plaguing all millennials right now. Millennials, but also probably Gen X and Gen Z to a certain degree as well. Capri pants are back? Question mark? I don't know how I feel about this, guys. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like maybe this is just because the fashion companies don't have enough fabric. I don't know what it was, but I read some article a few years ago about how quite often when there's a micro trend or when there's just any kind of dominant fashion trend sweeping the globe, quite often it's because there's an excess of material. Like if there's a color, like a couple years ago, baby blue was the color. It was the color. It was everywhere. This past year, allegedly red was the color, like bright red was the trendy color. So quite often when these colors or when different materials like silks or gingham, like certain patterns, when they become popular, sometimes it's because there is just a surplus of that material or that color floating around. And so the fashion industry will make that color or that pattern or that material in vogue so to speak, so that they can sell that material and not let it go to waste, which I think is super interesting. So I wonder if the capri pants are kind of like a shrinkflation thing. Like, can we make the pants shorter but still charge the same amount of money? I wonder if there's some of that going on. I just feel like, I mean, wear what you want. Like, if you think they're cute, then obviously rock them and rock them confidently. But I just feel like they really don't look good on anybody. Like, it's not even one of those things where it's like, because I kind of hate when people say, like, this item of clothing only looks good on 1% of the population. We can wear what we want and we cannot worry about it being flattering on us necessarily. But I just think capri pants aren't really doing anybody any favors. I saw a picture of Bella Hadid wearing capris and they don't even look good on her. I mean, she doesn't look bad. She never looks bad, but they're not doing her any favors is basically what I'm saying. Also, jorts are back. And when I say jorts, I don't mean the Daisy Dukes, okay? I don't mean just like your shorty short jean shorts that those have always been in. They've never been out. The jorts I'm referring to are the ones that go to the knee. In some variations, they might be slightly, ever so slightly above the knee or ever so slightly below the knee. Back in the day, we called them Bermuda shorts. I don't know if they're actually popular in Bermuda or if that was just a way to make them sound more exotic. But the jorts, they are so fucking ugly. They are so bad. If you catch me out in public wearing jorts, you have permission. And actually, I would encourage you to call me out and to say, Emily, you specifically said we weren't doing jorts and you're going back on your promise. You're a fashion victim. Call me a fashion victim. And by the way, I can be somewhat of a fashion victim. I have been in the past. I think it can be fun sometimes to follow the trends, whether it be a micro trend or a macro trend. I'm talking like I even know anything about fashion, and I really don't. But it can be fun to follow trends sometimes. We don't want to be fashion victims to the point where we're wearing things that don't fit in our personal style and that we actively tell ourselves don't look good on us and don't make us feel good just because it's trending. We don't want to do that. And I don't want to be a full-on fashion victim where it's like I lose my sense of self. Gen Z might be into the capri pants and Gen Z might be into the jorts because they weren't there. They don't have trauma associated with the jorts. So maybe they see it as like a fun thing. But for us millennials who have been personally victimized and traumatized by the jorts, by the capris, I just don't feel like there's a way we can go back. I'll wait to see if I'm proven wrong this summer. When the weather starts heating up a little bit more, I will circle back and let you know if I caved and bought capri pants. I don't think I'm going to. I really don't think I'm going to. But I felt it was my personal duty to tell you guys that this is on the horizon and we don't have to be fashion victims if we choose not to be. So join me in solidarity. And reject the capris, reject the jorts, reject any of these trends that you feel like are not for you. Because there are plenty of them that I feel like are not for me, and I'm okay with that. Okay, real quick, earlier this season, I shouted out this young woman who creates videos on TikTok and Instagram. Her name's Krista Celia. Her fans affectionately call her Mama C. And basically, she's a single mom of four kids, and she's quite young. She's 23 years old, and she films herself making breakfast, lunch, and dinner for her four children, and it's so wholesome. I love it so much. She's given me a lot of home cooking ideas. She just has her shit together in a way that I just don't, and I'm completely childless, and I'm just such a fan of hers. And I think I was talking about her videos and how much I love them, but I was also talking about how there are some nasty people that will comment on her videos being like, how could you feed your kids such unhealthy food? And she's so good at just ignoring the haters, or like sometimes she'll drop a little comment in her videos like, I'm the worst mom ever apparently for feeding my kid processed food, but I'm gonna do it anyway because it's time saving. And that is just the most relatable thing. Like, normal people cannot reject processed foods because A, they're affordable. Somebody who has four kids, it's just not realistic to be like home baking your sourdough starter every day and feeding your kids everything that has like all natural ingredients and whatever. This shit is expensive and time consuming. So I really appreciate her making this relatable content and showing how actual everyday moms feed their kids and do so beautifully, I might add. But I wanted to shout out this other creator that I've discovered. Her name is AlexBaby97, and that's baby with two eyes. This woman makes very similar content, and I really like it. She makes food for her kids, and she'll film herself making all the food. Once again, she cooks processed foods a lot of the time. She's not a almond mom by any stretch of the imagination. But I have noticed a disparity between her and Mama C, Chris DeCelia. And other people have pointed this out. I'm definitely not the only person to have pointed this out. But she had this video of herself making her kids donuts. And the internet was ablaze. People were really, really mean to her. This is a creator, by the way, in a larger body. So you can only imagine this video of her making donuts for her kids. The comments are brutal. I mean, brutal. Like, you're killing your kids. You're killing yourself. You need to lose weight. I've noticed the disparity between the way that people talk about her and treat her versus Mama C, who is in a straight size body, but makes very similar content from what I can tell. And I wanted to just compare their following count. So I find this so interesting. So Mama C has 1.5 million followers. Go off, Mama C. We love to Mama C it. But this girl, Alex Baby, who, I mean, she has so much content, so many videos, and it's very, very similar. I mean, even some of the techniques she uses are similar. The way that the camera's set up is similar. I mean, it might be like a tad less aesthetic, like the lighting and the format and stuff like that, but still very similar. She has 376.1 thousand followers. And the disparity between the comments, it's so interesting to me. It just made me realize that it doesn't even matter what you're doing. If you are in a larger body and you're making content on the internet, people are always going to have something to fucking say about it. I mean, like I said, even Mama C, you know, Mama C gets criticized for giving her kids processed garbage. However, she also gets a lot of support. So I feel like with her, it's more 50-50. Maybe even like 75% in support of her and 25% criticizing her. But then you look at Alex Baby's profile and the hate that she gets. It's out of control, and it really is just because of how she looks. I really think if there was somebody in a straight size body, or if it was someone like Mama C making donuts for her kids, the comments would overwhelmingly be, oh, what a fun, tasty breakfast that you're making for your kids. You know, I don't know what to do about that. Like, I don't know if there's a way that we can change the way that people perceive these creators, but it's so awful. I'm so glad that she's continuing to make these videos, even though she has so many haters, because this needs to be seen. This type of content needs to be normalized. Just a regular woman who's not rich, as far as I can tell, making realistic meals for her children. I just think there needs to be more support for the women like this and less support for the trad wives who, God, I cannot stand this trad wife content. It is so fake. It is so garbage. It is so annoying. That video, I'm not even going to say the creator's name. That video where it's like, my toddler wanted peanut butter and jelly. She woke me up this morning and said she wanted peanut butter and jelly. So here I am. I'm going to make her peanut butter and jelly. Let me get my sourdough starter. And she makes the bread from scratch. And then she makes the peanut butter from scratch. I mean, come on. You can find peanut butter that's just peanuts. Like just roasted peanuts. You can find that in the grocery store. But of course, this quote trad wife with her superiority complex needs to hand grind her peanuts and then also hand make the jam. Jam, another thing that you can buy from the store that's very few ingredients, doesn't have preservatives. Like obviously there's a less great version of that that you can buy. You can buy Welch's grape jelly to put on your PB&J, or you can buy the Bon Mama, you know, artisanal jam if you wanted to. You don't need to hand make your jam. Nothing wrong with hand making your jam, but like, I don't like this culture of, I can't feed my child anything store-bought. I need to hand make everything so that a processed morsel never passes their lips. That's not doing them any favors. I was thinking about this the other day, actually. I don't know who the Almond Moms think they're benefiting. Like, I can only assume that they think they're doing what is best for their kids by limiting processed foods, by only letting them have like natural sugar or fruit and not letting them have any added sugar. You know, like, I can only imagine they think that they're doing what is in their child's best interest. However, it's really only benefiting them. It's really only catering to their neuroses about food, because we know, many of us from experience, that the second that kid goes over to a friend's house who doesn't have an Almond Mom and they are allowed to eat, quote, junk food, they're allowed to have Cheez-Its, they're allowed to have Welch's fruit snacks, they're going to go nuts. And not only are they going to go nuts, but then when they're out of the house, when they're 18 and they go to college or they go out and get their own apartment, get a job, they're probably not going to be eating like their Almond Mom. It rarely happens that somebody grows up with an Almond Mom and then becomes an Almond Mom. I feel like more often they rebel and they go in the other direction. They probably have a lot of fucked up patterns around food at that point because everything was off limits to them growing up. And that's just not serving them in adulthood. So these Almond Moms, they're just so neurotic, and it's only benefiting them to not give their kids foods that they perceive as off limits. Like, it's only passing on their neuroses to their kids. It's a projection, and it's not benefiting them at all. All right, I'm going to step down off my soapbox, but just, it's something to think about. The trad wife to Almond Mom to child with disordered eating, I mean, that pipeline, that trajectory is very much real. So I think we need to keep that in mind and not praise these trad wives for cooking everything from scratch. Like, it's not. Also, how long did that child need to wait for the goddamn PB&J? And when she finally got the PB&J, did it even taste like what she was imagining? I wanted a reaction video. And I didn't see a reaction video. But I feel like we need it. Like, I feel like it's dishonest without seeing the reaction from the child. Maybe she loved it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I know when I was growing up and I said I wanted a PB&J, I wanted the least natural kind of PB&J. I loved that Goober peanut butter that was like striped, like mixed in with the jam. And I loved it so much that I bought it in bulk one time because they only had the peanut butter and grape flavor in the grocery store. So I went online because I wanted the peanut butter and strawberry jam, which was way harder to find. I think it's easy to find now, but it was hard back then. And I bulk ordered like 8 or 10 of them, and I never went through the jars. I went through like one jar because that's all I really wanted. And it's interesting because now I like grape jelly, but back then I liked strawberry jelly. Riveting stuff, right? So guys, that is my episode today. Just a little slice of life, a little update about my tummy issues, my thoughts on celebs who haven't gotten plastic surgery or haven't gone nuts with it at least, and my take on the capri jorts trend and the trad wives. I mean, you got a little sampler platter of everything in this episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode of RIP Diets. You can follow me on Instagram at Lubination, or the podcast is at RIP Diets on Instagram. Or if you want to write to me with feedback or with advice questions or really anything, you can email me at ripdiets@gmail.com. I always love hearing from you guys in whatever way, shape, or form. So guys, until next time, peace, love, RIP Diets.